Psalm 128. We'll read this psalm tonight. Psalms 128. Well, I need to just stop and say a huge thank you to everybody that's come. I mean, where do you start? For the last 2 weeks, have been displaced as we moved everything out of the upstairs and completely remodeled, new paint, painted the ceiling, new carpet, everything from all the way to into the nursery. If you haven't peeked into the nursery, you need to. They did a great job in there. And so many people put in so many hours. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean that. It's just been a blessing. It was a lot to take on and try to do in a two-week period, and we just couldn't have done it without a lot of folks helping. And I want to just say thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Psalms 128, let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. Psalms 128. Verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Tonight I want to preach on this subject, your relationship to your grandparents, your relationship to your grandparents. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that in a very sweet way you meet with us. Lord, bless the preaching of your word, empower it. Help us, dear Lord, to understand what the Bible says about this wonderful and sweet relationship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We've chosen as the theme for 2017, a heart for home, a heart for home. And I told you at the beginning of the year that we would be spending quite a bit of time throughout the year preaching on different aspects of the home and the family. A heart for home. We want to make sure we have a heart for our family, have a heart for our nation, our community, a heart for our home church, and by the way, a heart for heaven. And the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The more that you invest in these areas, your heart naturally and normally follows your investment. And so I want to talk about this really interesting, sweet relationship, and we're going to discover what the Bible tells us concerning the relationship between grandchildren and their grandparents. The success of a person's life, I believe, can be measured in the success they achieve in their personal relationships. Now, why is that true? Because people matter. People are forever. The person who succeeds financially but fails in his personal relationships will ultimately find himself alone and embittered. The key to any successful relationship is to identify. Don't miss what I'm going to say here. The key to any successful relationship is to identify relationship responsibilities and to work to fulfill those responsibilities. See, with every Bible relationship, we are given a list of Bible responsibilities. Now, folks, I want to help you with something, okay? Too many times we believe that a relationship ought to be successful based on somebody else and what they need to do for us. And if you want to have good, successful relationships in life, stop worrying about what the other person is or isn't doing. Find out what your Bible-based responsibilities are in that relationship, and you fulfill your Bible-based responsibilities. And if you'll do that, you'll be surprised how many times that's returned and God blesses it. You know what? I can't control anybody else, but I can control Jerry Ross with the Holy Spirit's help. And what I want to do is make sure that I study in the Bible. What are my relationship responsibilities, and am I meeting those responsibilities? The Bible properly identifies both the important relationships of our lives and the personal responsibilities assigned to those relationships. And we're going to enjoy the study tonight, I think. as we talk about the relationship that you have to your grandparents. Now, let's look what the Bible said here in the sixth verse of Psalms 128. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. Verse 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all thy days of thy life. So this is listed as one of the blessings, the promised blessings of life, is that we have the opportunity to see our children's children. Number one, as a grandchild, let me talk to grandkids tonight. As a grandchild, you are a promised reward for your grandparents, a promised reward. It is hard, I think, for the average grandchild to really understand how precious you are to your grandparents. You're a blessing from the Lord. You are their second chance children. You are their reward for not killing your parents. You are their heritage. You are their heritage. I've marveled as I've watched the sweetness of this relationship as I was growing up, experiencing it myself. And now, what a joy it has been to experience it firsthand. A grandparent is unique in that most of us, let me talk to grandparents for a moment. You know what? Being a grandparent is unique in that most of us have been blessed to experience this relationship twice. You know, once as the grandchild with grandparents, and now as a grandparent with grandchildren. Once we were the blessing, now we are the blessed. And so I want you grandchildren to understand, first of all, that God puts a high premium on this relationship. And I want to remind you that you're very, very precious to your grandmother and your grandfather, maybe more than you understand. And so, number one, as a grandchild, you're a promised reward for your grandparents. Number two, your grandparents wish to leave you an inheritance. Please be wise enough to receive it. Go to Proverbs chapter number 13. I want to show you a sweet verse. Proverbs chapter number 13 and verse number 12. And we're going to talk about this matter of an inheritance for a little while. Your grandparents wish to leave you an inheritance. Be wise enough to receive it. In Proverbs 13 verse 22, the Bible says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Because we live in such a materialistic culture, you can't hardly mention the word inheritance without people immediately thinking of finances or property or material goods. But I want you to understand that your grandparents have something much more important than those type of things to leave for you. And they're going to want to impart that to you. See, grandkids, you may not understand this, but your grandparents have a full realization of where they're at in life. And they understand that, you know what, their time on earth, most of it has already been spent. It's just a little bit's left. And you know what they want to do in that little bit of time? They want to leave you some things and give you some things. Please don't be in such a hurry. Please take the time. Please receive what they're trying to give to you. Now, preacher, well, what is it that they want to impart? Number one, your grandparents carry the knowledge. Now, think about this. They carry the knowledge not just of their generation, but of their parents and their grandparents. So when you're learning something from grandma or grandpa, you're not just learning what they know. You're learning what their parents taught them and what their grandparents taught them. How foolish to ignore and miss the opportunity to glean all of that wisdom and all of that knowledge and all of that information. When you take the time to learn something from your grandparents, you very well may be learning something from the great-great-grandparent that you never met. Their lives have been touched by every generation that precedes them. Don't drop the baton. And so here's your great-great-great-grandparents, and they handed something to your great-great-grandparents, and they're trying to hand it to your great-grandparents, and they handed it to your grandparents. And you know what? They've tried to hand it to their children, and they're trying to hand it to you before they leave and head off to heaven. Don't be so foolish to miss that opportunity. I shudder as I read Proverbs chapter 30. I wonder if this is the generation that the Bible is predicting here. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Now look up here and let me give you a little lesson in humility. Your grandparents have more brains in their little finger than you have in your whole cotton-picking little body, all right? And don't be so proud to think that you cannot learn from grandma and you cannot learn from grandpa, and oh my goodness, roll your eyes, here they go again. Why don't you show a little humility and a little bit of good sense and take the opportunity to be wise? They're trying to hand you something before they leave. So your grandparents carry the knowledge of three generations, not just theirs. Number two, your grandparents experienced firsthand the last 60 plus years of American history, and some of them longer than that. Now think about that. You know, I love history, and I mean that. I love history. I love to read history. But you know why I fell in love with history? I didn't fall in love with history because of going to a class in a school and listen to a teacher teach out of a book. I first fell in love with history by listening to my grandfather talk about everything that he had experienced in his life. Because see, folks, you can go and read the facts of history, but it's something quite different to talk to somebody who actually was alive while the history was being made. I wouldn't tell you how old my mother is. I don't think that's something that people ought to say, but she was born in 1940, and she was born in 1940, and so I did this kind of quickly. I probably missed a few things, and so, you know, in the first 10 years of her life, let me tell you what she lived through. In the first 10 years of her life, Japanese attacking Pearl Harbor, Mount Rushmore was completed, Cheerios was introduced to the world. We've never had that discussion. I've never talked to you about how that impacted your life, you know. The Jeep was invented. Amen. All right. By the way, World War II and the Holocaust and all of that coming out. M&Ms were created in the 1940s. And this was disturbing to me. T-shirts were introduced. I'm not sure what they did before that, so I... D-Day, how about that? First atomic bomb tested when she was a child. Okay, first computer was built. How about that? Germany surrendered. U.S. drops the atomic bomb, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Okay, Chuck Yeager breaks the sound barrier. Polaroid cameras are introduced. Ballpoint pens are introduced. The Berlin airlift. Israel becomes a nation. NATO is established. The Soviet Union then acquires, by the end of that decade, the atomic bomb. Now, listen, you can read about all of that, but Grandma and Grandpa can tell you how that affected them every day of their life. So, in her teenage years, the first organ transplant. The first Peanuts cartoon strip. There you go. Korean War begins and ends. Color TV is introduced in the 1950s. Hillary and Norgay climb Mount Everest. No, not that Hillary. The first atomic submarine is launched. Roger Bannister breaks the 4-minute mile. Do you even know what that is? Do you know what that's talking about? Disneyland opens. They could close for all I care. James Dean dies in a car accident. Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the bus. Elvis gets blacked out on Ed Sullivan's show. Velcro is invented. The Soviet satellite Sputnik launches into space. Boy, it's hard for us to understand what a big deal that was. NASA is founded. Hula hoops, Legos, and the TV remote is invented. Castro becomes dictator of Cuba. Now, listen again, you can read about these. Listen, young people, put the silly video games away. Okay? Go over and sit down, have a piece of pie with grandma. She'll probably make you cookies. And would you listen? You know what I would give, and most people around here would give, to have one day back with their grandparents? One day to sit, one day to listen. Don't miss the opportunity. When my mom was in her 20s, There was the first televised presidential debate between Nixon and Kennedy. The Bay of Pigs invasion. Berlin Wall is built. John Kennedy gives his famous speech about putting a man on the moon. The Soviets launched the first man into space. We're talking about the space race here. Fascinating. It's amazing the jump start that the Soviets got, yet guess who put the first man on the moon? I'm kind of proud of being American, amen? Cuban Missile Crisis, the famous escape from Alcatraz. Marilyn Monroe is found dead. And by the way, you know what? There's a resurgence of almost a worship in this generation of Marilyn Monroe. Before you start putting her pictures up and worshiping her, you might want to figure out who she really was, okay? John F. Kennedy is assassinated. You can ask your grandparents, where were you when you heard that? And I guarantee you they'll be able to tell you. The Beatles come to the U.S. Malcolm X is assassinated. This is sad. Mini skirts first appear. Talk to grandma and grandpa about modesty. Okay, talk to them about when they were raised. I'm telling you, it was a day in the public school. You know, we get blasted all the time, all this, and it's fine. Go ahead. Have a party. But you talk to Sheila Muma. You talk to I'm talking about people right in this room that used to have to kneel down and get their dress checked, make sure their dress touched the floor. They weren't allowed to attend a public school. Amen. And America was a better country then. Vietnam War begins. National Organization for Women is founded. First heart transplant. First Super Bowl. Martin Luther King's assassinated. Robert Kennedy's assassinated. The Manson family murders. How about that? Woodstock. Mom was there. Woodstock. She was passing out gospel tracts. She was... First man on the moon, the United States of America. During her 30s, the computer floppy disks were introduced. Kent State shootings. Pocket calculators are introduced in the 70s. Watergate scandal. Roe versus Wade legalizing abortion. Sears Towers built. Patty Hearst is kidnapped. President Nixon resigns. Two assassination attempts against President Gerald Ford. Microsoft is founded. Apple Computer is founded. The first Muppet Show premieres. By the way, Elvis is found dead. Think about that. It's interesting to study this. By the way, I'm still fascinated by this stuff. All of, young people, please listen to me. The advantage of talking to previous generations is whatever icon you are overcome with and are worshiping, we've seen them come. We've seen them rise. And we've watched how their lives have ended. Be careful who you choose as a hero. Be careful who you choose as a hero. Jonestown Massacre takes place. Nuclear accident on Three Mile Island. Sony introduces the Walkman. Iran takes American hostages. Now, listen, young people, you can read about all this stuff. Yeah, you can Google them and read it. Or you could sit down and say, Grandma, how did this affect you? What did you think when this happened? Folks, listen to me. I'm going to get to point number five a little early here, or point number four, but you know what? One of the things that you better understand is this. When your grandparents are gone, everything they know and everything they've experienced and everything they could have shared with you is gone. Take advantage of it while you have an opportunity, okay? I don't even know if I want to go about The 80s, I don't know about the 80s. My mother was in her 40s. Mount St. Helen erupts. Pac-Man video games and Rubik's Cubes. Ted Turner establishes CNN. If you haven't understood this yet, as I did this, the one thing I was become convinced of, the world's not getting better with every decade, folks, okay? Assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan. New plague is identified as AIDS, AIDS. Personal computer introduced by IBM. First personal computer, first PC, 1980s. Vietnam War Memorial opens in Washington, D.C. Cabbage Patch Kids. People were killing each other for a Cabbage Patch Kid. U.S. Embassy in Beirut is bombed. There's a famine in Ethiopia. I can still remember seeing some of the scenes on TV, the horrible thing. Terrorist hijacked TWA flight 847. Space shuttle Challenger explodes. Halley's Comet passes by. U.S. bombs Libya. USSR launches the Mir space station. Berlin Wall falls. Students are massacred in China's Tiananmen Square. World Wide Web was invented, and no, Al Gore did not invent it. Now, that's just to the 1980s. I could go on. What I'm saying is this. Good night. You have history, and you have people that lived through history that you're related to. And you know what? They've got a wonderful and neat perspective, and don't miss the opportunity to sit down and talk with them. So your grandparents, they're trying to leave you an inheritance. What do they want to leave me? Well, they carry the knowledge of three generations, not just what they know, but what their parents and their grandparents know. And they experience firsthand the last 60 plus years of American history. So don't miss the opportunity. Number three, your grandparents know details of your ancestry. Now's the time to find out. I think it's good for a person to understand where they came from, to know something about their family. Take the time to learn about your family. Take the time to sit down with grandma and grandpa and talk about their parents. How about this? What's your best memory? By the way, if I had to do it all over again, and I'm going to encourage you to do what I wish somebody would have told me to do, you know what? You ought to just sit down and make a list of questions that you're going to ask grandma and grandpa. And every time you get together, a family get together, or make a point sometimes just every couple weeks to stop by and just ask them three or four or five questions. And by the way, write the answers down. You think you're going to remember them, you won't remember them, write them down. I think I just start a little notebook and just say, maybe call it Things I Learned from Grandma and Grandpa. Just ask them questions. What's the best memory you had of Grandma? What's the best memory you had of your mom? What was her strongest character trait? Well, what's the sweetest thing that she ever did for you and the family? I mean, get her talking. Learn a little bit about your heritage, okay? Do you know where your great-grandparents are buried? Grandma and grandpa know. You know how many people can't even find their relatives anymore because we didn't take the time to sit down? How about their parents? And so get this information. Number four, your grandparents possess the wisdom of a lifetime of both good and bad decisions. By the way, I'm going to say something to the grandparents, and I'm not saying that you ought to have to pull out, and maybe you don't want to, and I understand, you know, preacher, there's some bad mistakes I may have made in life that I don't really want my family to know, but I think sometimes what we need to do is learn to be honest. Here's a good question. Grandpa, what's the best decision you ever made? How about this question? Grandpa, what's the worst decision you ever made? And for us to be humble enough to realize that we can pass down some good wisdom and information to our grandchildren, both on what we did right, and hey, if I had it all to do over again, and I asked you to not make one mistake that I made, I can't go back, but you've got your life ahead of you, don't do this. And so you got that opportunity to pass it down. Your grandparents possess the wisdom of a lifetime, both good decisions and bad decisions. Someone once said that the best teacher is experience. I don't agree. The best teacher is somebody else's experience, because that saves you from having to experience things that you don't want to experience. Your grandparents, let me say this, will one day pass away, and when they do, everything they know will go with them. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. If you'll think about it, grandkids, they're trying to give it to you. Take the time to receive it. So number one, as a grandchild, you're a promised reward for your grandparents. Number two, your grandparents wish to leave you inheritance. Be wise enough to receive it. Number three, decide on a list of questions you will ask your grandparents. Proverbs 18:4 says, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook." And I like Proverbs 20, verse 5. "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Well, grandpa's just not one that wants to talk about certain things. And well, you know what? All that knowledge is there. And you know what? Real good counsel, a lot of time in the heart of a man, is like deep water. But I promise you this, a lot of people that will share what they have won't share it with you unless they realize that you're serious about it and that you really want to know. Doesn't the Bible warn us about not casting pearls before swine? And a lot of times, an older generation, almost gets the attitude of, why share it with this younger generation? They're not listening anyway. They don't care anyway. Convince them that you do care and that you do want it. You see, sometimes I think we say, well, Grandma and Grandpa should have. No, we should have. We should have went to them and drew out that counsel and those words of wisdom, like drawing out deep water out of a well. Take the time and effort to do it. Let me finish with this last thought, number four. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. We're close there. And look at verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Your life, young people, grandkids, listen to me. Your life should be a crown to your grandparents. Let me tell you what grandparents love to do. They love to brag on their grandkids. Live a life that's worth bragging about. You know, the Bible talks about the responsibility that we have, every one of us, to our family name. Please listen, young people. You know what? Your grandparents worked hard to have a family name and to protect that family name and make sure that that family name represented the right things. And yet, we watch a generation that seems like they think nothing of destroying or tainting or tarnishing their family's name. But Proverbs 22:1 says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And you've been handed down from both sides of the family a heritage, a family heritage, a family name. And you know what? You ought to make sure that you conduct yourself in such a way where you are a crown that your grandparents can wear, okay? Something that they can be proud of. You know, a lot of times I'll read the paper, and I know that, you know, even King David had to pray to the Lord, Lord, forgive me the sins of my youth. And he was one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. But you have to be very careful. In your youth, if you're not careful, you can make some very foolish and damaging decisions. And there's a lot of reasons you ought not do that. And surely, I'm not going to give you the best reason. I think you ought to not do that just because, number one, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. How about his name? But somewhere not very far down the list ought to be this reason. I'm not going to bring damage. I'm not going to bring reproach to my family's name. Folks, I read the papers. You read the papers. Sometimes there they are. Someone 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And there they are. There's the mugshot. And there they are. They're into drugs, or they're into this, or they've done this, or they've done that. And every time I see that, I think to myself, a grandma and a grandpa is picking up the paper. And that's their grandbaby. Now, there's a lot of reasons to do right. But you know what? I think one of the things that kept me from doing some things that maybe I was even sorely tempted to do was I did not want to bring a reproach upon my dad's name and my mom's name and my grandparents' name. And so, you know what? Be a crown. Be a crown. Be the kind of grandkids that, you know what, man alive, I mean, they can't wait to get together in all their little grandma parties, and they can't wait for the other ladies to get done talking, because when they get their chance, they're going to be able to tell some wonderful things about your life and the decisions that you're making. A grandchild's relationship to their grandparent. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to just study these few verses, Lord. This wonderful little phrase, as we chase it through the Bible, they're children's children. And Lord, I want to thank you for the grandparents that you gave me, dear Lord, and sweet and precious memories and things that I still think about. Things they said, things they did, some very serious that influenced me, some things that we tell the stories and we just laugh. But Lord, I thank you that you gave me grandparents that loved me and cared about me. And Lord, I guess maybe there's no way I could have understood maybe the importance of that relationship, the depth of that relationship. But when you get on this side of it, things become very clear. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help our young people to listen to a grandpa tonight, not just to their pastor, but to a grandpa that's given some good biblical counsel to the grandchildren. We pray these things in Jesus' name.